Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3CHI.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
Well, welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. Today we have an unbelievable 7 rounds in the magazine. So hold on to your dicks or your vaginas, whatever you got. Mm-hmm. Round number one, we talk about how most enlisted folks hate their junior officers. Today we're going to give you a perfect example of the reason why. It involves filling water jugs with 20-ounce bottles of water. Round number two, at the age of 16, you should be able to 1. Drive, 2. Join the army, and 3. Have to wait another 5 years to legally vape or purchase booze. Those are the facts, and they are undisputed. Round number 3, a new poll found 64% of all veterans don't view the Iraq war as worth the cost. What in the world are the other 36% seeing? We talk about that a little bit. Round number 4, a Marine got promoted from Lance Corporal all the way to Sergeant in the same day. He sounds like a motivator, right? Wrong. Wait until you hear about how this command fucked up. Round number 5, the Army's introducing audiobooks for their field manuals. Is that a good idea or a bad idea? I think it's going to backfire big time, and I'll explain why in this round. Round number 6, there is nothing more special than deployment porn, and we honor that porn by honoring those who honored that porn in Iraq just over 10 years ago. And finally, round number 7, a badass Coast Guardsman went full send and jumped on a narco submarine, and it's the most badass thing that we've seen in a long, long time. Let's get going with the show, which today is brought to you by who, Kate?
It's brought to you by Lucy. I have to say, in the summertime, it's a million degrees out. It's hot. It's humid. Today, days like today, it's pouring rain. I hate getting that smoke smell stuck on me. I hate coughing. And it's bad for my radio voice, all that smoking. So I've switched over to Lucy. If you're looking for a boost of nicotine that you can enjoy anywhere like me, check out the powerful, long-lasting flavors of Lucy gum available at lucy.co. Lucy serves up that nicotine buzz you know and love without the thick clouds of smoke or fruity vapor. No more tobacco-stained teeth, smoky clothes, no more shamefully pulling on that vape at the office or a classy function. Lucy was designed by a team of scientists from Harvard, Stanford, and Caltech who used to smoke themselves, so they get it. They reimagine what nicotine could be. Just 4 milligrams of clean nicotine and food-grade ingredients that provide a buzz you can enjoy anywhere. Even here at Barstool Sports in the office, if you're me. Plus, there's 3 delicious flavors, cinnamon, pomegranate, and my personal favorite, citrus mint. But make sure you use it the right way. You just chew it a few times and then let it sit in the side of your cheek against your gums. Believe me, I chewed it like regular gum for the first time. It hits pretty hard. So you just need a few chews at a time, put it in your gum. When it wears out, chew it again for a second, do the same thing. It lasts for a long time.
The 278th ACR, they took stupid to a whole new level. Now, we got this picture, and we found this picture from U.S. Army What the Fuck Moments, and they're in this room. You have 2 soldiers who are in a room filling 5-gallon water jugs that you've seen a million times if you've ever been in the military. They're those classic tan ones, or beige, I guess. Let's go with the military term. They're coyote. They're coyote in color, and they're sitting there. They're also in this just square room. 4 coyote-colored walls, and you have these 2 privates, I assume they're privates, sitting on their asses with piles and piles of 20-ounce water bottles sitting around them, and they're filling up the 5-gallon jugs with them. And it's because the LT thought it was a good idea. He also brought the detail. He also had the detail filling the entire water buffaloes, which I believe are like 300 gallons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're big.
So filling 300-gallon tubs, basically.
One
for better or worse, with bottles of water. 1 bottle of water at a time, which is crazy.
Now, why do you guys think this? Cons, we'll start with you first. Why do you think that they were possibly doing this?
Oh, I can tell you exactly why. Because here's why. Here's how a young second lieutenant, maybe even a first lieutenant, thinks. This lieutenant got the directive from his battalion commander. Hey there, LT. Make sure you got enough water out there for your platoon. Roger. Got it. He sees all these water bottles. He comes up with the idea of they'd be easier to transport them in 5-gallon jugs. And that's where the problem occurs for lieutenants. They figure out a solution, but then they don't go one step further and they think, does this solution actually make sense? So had he taken one step further, he would have realized it's a lot easier if I just figure out a way to transport all these water bottles versus taking the time to put all these water bottles into 5-gallon jugs. It's just Kate, the curse of what happens with most officers.
Yeah, all I can think is that it's a punishment or something. Like, maybe these two guys fucked up. It's like, instead of peeling potatoes, now you have to pour really shitty cheap bottled water into giant jugs. That's the only thing, because just sitting there and glug, 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 twist the next cap, glug, 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 glug. Doing that, I mean, I imagine this would take hours, honestly.
That's a good water sound effect, by the way.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Here's what I think happened.
Okay.
I think the training NCO, who was in charge of making sure that everything was in order, forgot to call water and tell them that we need water buffaloes out there that are filled. Because most units, you can call and have somebody deliver a water buffalo out wherever you need it.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody forgot to do this in the planning cycle.
Right.
Whenever they had their mission directive, somebody forgot to do this. So it was probably the E7 and the second lieutenant that were tasked with making this happen. So they probably went out and bought these water bottles from like Costco or something like that, because they didn't have it, and they're trying to make the mission still go because somebody in like the S3 shop fucked up.
Yeah, that's certainly feasible. But these types of examples are exactly why younger enlisted folks hate young officers. I was actually, so last night I was out at the KFC radio show, and two people came up to me and they were ZBT listeners, and they said, "Hey man, why do Chaps and Kate give you such a hard time all the time? And they never relent. They just always give you such a hard time." And I just said,
He's an officer.
That's the way it goes. Yeah. It never stops.
It just still reflects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can, much like Martin Luther in the 95 Theses, we will not recant either.
I know.
Love you, though.
A little seminarian reference for you there.
That was impressive. Impressive
Thank
callback.
You very much. I love the idea of, see, this is one thing that's different about the Marine Corps and the Army too. I don't feel like any Marines would ever blame their second lieutenant for this, because the second lieutenant is not the one that's going to be coming in and telling them to do this.
Right.
This would always fall on the platoon sergeant in the Marine
Corps. Right.
Always.
Yeah. In the Army, we definitely give that scapegoat. We make those lieutenants the scapegoat always. So such is the life of a young officer. So what are you going to do?
Well, we deserve it, and we hate you guys always, even except for the young ROTCs. The young ROTC students who reach out to us, they're so fucking adorable, right? Mm-hmm. Like, whenever they DM us, and they're just like, "Hey, guys, learned so much about leadership from the pod. Love you." I'm like, "You little rascal. You little rapscallion."
And I'm like, "How? We just talked about our b-holes for 30 minutes last time. I don't understand, but I'm glad that they listen."
Yes, I'm glad, too. I'm glad people reach out for advice, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Let's move on to round number two.
All right. Round two. At the end of World War II, the Army had over 8 million service members. I actually didn't know that. That is a huge number.
Yep.
That is fucking insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
That's the logistics wild. Of that are crazy.
Yeah, that's just unbelievable. Today, by comparison, the Army has fewer than 500,000 troops, and it's struggling to reach its recruiting goals. For example, last year, the service planned to grow the active force to 487,500, but it ended 2019 about 10,000 short due to recruiting and retention issues. It's a difficult market because it's a very healthy job market, said Acting Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy. This environment is as challenging as we faced. 3.6% unemployment. We have no benchmark historically for the all-volunteer force.
Yeah, so they're losing numbers, but one fella has an idea. Shane McCarthy, who runs a platform called Sandbox with two X's at the end, not three X's at the end. That would be a sexy version of Sandbox, just two. Yes. But Shane McCarthy says lowering the age of enlistment to 16 could be another alternative. For one, many of the factors that disqualify older youth from joining, like criminal records, are not as present in younger teens. Currently, of the 75% of 17 to 24 year olds who are ineligible to serve, for example, 10% are ineligible due to criminal records. The others, I think, are if you don't look cool enough,
yeah,
if
you're like in uniform,
you got weird arches in your feet, I think those are the other, that's the 90%. Recruiting younger teens is not uncommon for other countries. Canada, for example, allows 16 year olds to serve in the reserves once they're still in full-time education. Though the UK allows for anyone from 15 years and 7 months old to drop out of school with permission from parents and join the military. Holy shit, UK allows You could be 15 and join the military.
We actually interviewed a guy like that. We had a dude on our show that was in a part of the mm-hmm. British Royal Army or British Royal Marines or something like that. And he dropped out of high school. You could kind of have that as a designator. I think America should adopt that part of it. Like, for instance, why, if you're 15 years old, you know you're not going to be doing Algebra 2 and Calculus. You could just identify some of these kids right away. Mm. And instead of making them go through traditional high school, be like, go learn a trade. Go be an electrician. Go repair ACs. Go be a plumber. And have people going through actual trade school.
Well, yeah. There is. High school had that. Yeah, mm-hmm. My high school had that for sure. But enlisting doesn't also means you don't have to deploy right away. So those younger ages in the UK, they're not slated to go on deployments. And the U.S. already has procedures in place to prevent the deployment of 17-year-olds who can join here again with special stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the Army believes it's important to have potential soldiers meet recruiters before they turn 17. I have to say, I love Shane McCarthy's idea of 16-year-olds joining because I think that we could create a special MOS just for them that's designated driving. All you do...
Just put them all in Motor T.
Yeah, yeah. They all go to Motor T, 16 to 17.
I don't hate that.
And they teach you tactics on calming down drunks in the back seat.
Wow.
They teach you drive-through protocol because they're gonna want you to go to Taco Bell late at night and make those runs.
Oh yeah.
They're gonna teach you how to avoid the riffraff in town while you're waiting for them to leave the bar.
Yeah.
You can learn.
The more you talk about it, the more I think that's a great idea because not only that.
Yeah, you're swaying
the units
me.
When. Mm-hmm. When the units come back from deployment or they come back from long training missions in the field, which these younger bucks aren't going to be able to do, you have automatic barracks duty. Be like, hey, dude, you're 16. If you're not 18, you're on the barracks duty. Everybody
right.
over 18, you're not on the barracks duty list. But if you're 16, or if you're 18, 17, or 16, you're going to have to pull it. I think people actually love that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it would be a huge...
I got to tell you, I came in before we started talking about this topic, and I was of the mindset... Do you want to know what I was doing at 16? Of course you don't want to know what I was doing at 16 because I was an idiot just like every other 16-year-old kid is out there.
Right.
But when you frame it as...
But that doesn't change the 18 to 19
either. No, exactly. No, exactly. I think about all the idiots I had in my platoon, the things I had to deal with when they were 18, 19, 20. But now that you're talking about it, if we just give them very specific duties, I don't hate this idea anymore.
Also, I would like to volunteer myself. I could be... They have to live in their own barracks... And each barracks
you're the house
like
mom.
A mom.
Yeah.
Kids, the Tostinos are ready. Come on. Come on out. I would love to be the mom.
It would essentially be like boarding school, right? Like
right.
You have like kind military of. Boarding school.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're the only ones on base who have like a soft hop. Like, mm-hmm. Who's coming? Are you guys going to the dance tonight? Yeah. So
I hate to take it here, but you know, Sergeant Jane Doe on Twitter, she's a great Twitter follow.
Yes.
She's actually deployed right now. So she has like a lot of real what's going on right now in the services. If you want to follow her, Sergeant Jane Doe is her name. She made a great point. She's like, what is it going to be like for that young captain the first time a 16-year-old female comes in and be like, hey, I'm pregnant, and it's my 28-year-old sergeant who lives in the barracks baby.
See, now we're getting back into the problems that I had envisioned as a platoon leader being brought to my desk. So I don't know if all of the great ideas that you've just presented outweigh the headaches that would be presented by a bunch of 16-year-olds running around.
Yeah. Well, a bunch of creepy higher-ups running around, I would say.
Whoa.
Because wow. men are Satan. There we go.
It wouldn't be an episode if Kate didn't get in a dig at men.
I just really...
hate them.
Oh, you guys are all the worst. I don't know, though. I don't hate the idea. And I bet parents, too, if I was a mom, and I'd be like, oh... I can make them dip out at 16?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, true. You don't have to worry about
Bye.
College.
But also,
I mean, college
my daughter
gonna
is
burst.
14. Imagining my daughter in a barrack somewhere in 2 years.
Oh, my God.
Thinking that she would be emotionally or any type of ready for that type of environment is baffling.
I think you would have to have some sort of extensive interview process. It couldn't just be blanket, hey, you're 16, come on in. You would have to.
Yeah, because we trust recruiters to do that.
Yeah, like we do it in
recruiters
right
are going
to
be like, I got a number.
God.
If you can breathe, come on in.
I hear myself
that's
saying
that's what I like
words,
talking to my
working.
Old recruiter buddies. Like, and they're like, dude, I don't care, man. Like the people, they could be straight up murderers and I don't care if I have to get my number. He's like, because I just want, they won't get promoted. Like you have to do what you have to do.
Right.
And with the Army being already behind, they're going to have to keep like lowering the standards because you have to have that manpower number.
Yep.
God. God,
and raising bonuses, lowering the standards, yeah, and all that stuff. So, boy, did I join at the wrong time.
You got to find that medium, though, right? Because you don't want to lower it so far that you just get just any swinging dick out there, swinging vagina, excuse me.
Thank well, they were having that flaps. Problem right around the surge time. Whenever right? we had to do the surge, they were having that issue. They were taking just about anybody who wanted to get in. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go on to round number three. Round number three, about two-thirds of veterans think that the Iraq war was not worth fighting, and more than 50% think that the same thing about the war in Afghanistan, according to a Pew Research Center. Pew, if you don't know, it's a nonpartisan think tank, and they take all kinds of polls. They have the scientific standard whenever they do all their polling. They said that veterans served in either Iraq or Afghanistan are no more supportive of those wars than those who didn't serve. And this is the shocking part, it has nothing to do, their research and their numbers have nothing to do with rank or combat experience. Because I would have thought it would have been jaded a little bit, because people have more of an issue with saying something that I did didn't matter.
Yeah, I, right? Like no, quite honestly.
I think that's how it goes.
How, I mean, chaps, you and I were both in Iraq. I don't think I ever want to admit that I went there and it was all for nothing.
Well, I think when I came back from Afghanistan in the first couple years after I got out, they say one of the toughest things to deal with sometimes, obviously physical is its own really tough ball of wax, I can't imagine, but the moral injury. And the first few years after I got out, I had a really hard time because I did feel like it was all in vain, and I did feel like my friends died for nothing, and I did feel like all of it was, I felt for the people who were going through it, the civilians in Afghanistan. Because like from the first week I was outside the wire, and my dad probably has a letter somewhere, I was like, Dad, this is like a quagmire. Like me, a Lance Corporal at like 20, early 20s, I was like, this is just fucked. There's no end to that. Like this.
Right.
Yeah.
I think so, anybody who was there, you have, whenever you're outside of the wire, you say, what the fuck is going on here? We don't have any real guidance. What is the mission here?
And that nothing was sustainable. Mm-hmm. I could see that right away, that without us being there constantly, and even then it was messed up, that I felt like nothing was sustainable. And over the years, I feel like, you know, you just have to look for the small silver line, like the small things I guess.
You did that were positive.
And to know that you just did your job the best you could, and that's all you could do at the time. So,
right,
I don't know.
To your point about thinking about, are these things sustainable? I think about the length that we've been there, and I think that would that probably greatly impacts these numbers, right? Had we gone into Afghanistan, Iraq, been in and out in, you know, 1 to 3 years, I think the number would be a lot higher in terms of who approved of us going there.
Well, if we lower that military age, the war now, right?
Troll Withers always says that things were completely different, they'd be different.
Right.
Like, I think that's true.
That's very
but
profound.
The first time that I ever got to the place where I could admit that, something was off or that what we did might not have meant much, was when Fallujah fell again. Like after
we
got Fallujah, Fallujah was in control, and then whenever the reports like ISIS is in control of Fallujah, you were just like, motherfucker. And that, for me, that was the turning point on my thought process. Because before that, I've been like, women can go to school there. Women are voting in Iraq. They're casting their votes. They're doing these things. There was those little snippets of things that I believed in that I could hold on to. After Fallujah fell again, I was like, man,
and
now it is definitely worth it.
Across the board on social media, when Fallujah fell, like every veteran I knew that had been there, it was just so
like,
heavy.
Fuck.
It was so, my heart broke for all you guys when I saw that happened.
But it was just the copy and paste the article from the Marine Times or wherever it came from, and the only word usually was fuck. I wish I could go back and have like a screenshot of what my timeline looked like at the time on Facebook, because it was bad. I mean, obviously, we don't want to spend a lot of time on that. Just interesting that 64% of veterans say that the war in Iraq was pointless. Interesting, though, 50% only say that about Afghanistan. I would have thought at this point it would have been a lot higher, but it's at 50%, which is interesting to note as well.
Yeah.
Let's move on to round number four. Round number four, I got this from a pal on Instagram. His name is Dave. I told him I'd leave his full name out. He said, I'll leave the actual names out of this story. We had a guy named Corporal Smith, but he's a bit of a weird, nerdy guy, not very well liked, but I never really had a problem with him personally, and he was decent at his job. Which I think is a very important, if you're talking about somebody who has the reputation of might being a little bit of a shitbag, or that you don't really like them, if they are proficient at their job, that covers a lot of illnesses in the military.
Yep.
Like, yes, I don't like this dude, I don't like this lady, but she's good at her job. That covers a lot of wrongs.
Yep.
Sure does.
He said a few weeks prior to us, Lima Battery 310, deploying, he had barracks duty as barracks duty NCO. He was married and lived out in town, and when he called in, he claimed to be sick and he couldn't stand duty. And if you're not in the Marine Corps, I'm kind of going off script here. If you're not, just to give you a heads up, if you're not in the Marine Corps and somebody calls in off of duty, then there's somebody has to take that duty. Mm-hmm. And there's usually a super nut, is what we would call them, that had to take that duty last minute, and you had to be ready to go at any time. And that shit sucks. And when you make somebody go in when they're the super nut, everybody kind of feels it, because then you just get bumped up a day. Let's go back into what he actually said. Later on, someone sees Corporal Smith out in the Jacksonville Mall shopping with his wife and took some pictures of him and sent them to the command. He gets NJP'd and busted down to Lance Corporal, and we deploy. Now, all the other corporals, mine, myself and a few others in the platoon, are making him do extra duty, like scrubbing stairs with a toothbrush and giving him the worst firewalk shifts every single night, yada, yada, yada. About three-fourths of the way through the deployment, we do a promotion ceremony on the flight deck, per usual. Afterwards, our CO brings into a school circle and promotes Lance Corporal Smith to sergeant and pins him. We're all standing around like, what the fuck? We get told after our command fucked up doing his paperwork, and this guy was still in the system as a corporal collecting points every quarter until he got the cutting score to sergeant, and one day the command gets a promotion warrant for him to E5. Now, I don't know if they could have done something. Side note, they definitely could have. Sorry for the long novel, but it's one of the things that just kills me when I think about it. Crazy, man.
So
that
basically,
shit is crazy.
This guy was caught, confirmed liar, to go to the fucking Jacksonville Mall with his wife, screwing over another Marine who, and that's 24 hours of your life is duty. So another Marine had to spend 24 hours of his life covering for this guy who was clearly lying, which you just don't
Where's
do
your conscience on that?
In the Marines, you just don't do that shit. So basically, and what I'm trying to understand is... So
and
that,
if you do it, you stay at home.
But wait.
You stay at home.
So there was a shift in the story that I wasn't quite sure I followed. He gets in trouble. They're fucking with him back stateside. And then they deploy. And while they're deployed, he gets promoted to sergeant?
Yeah, so they're still fucking with him on the ship and everything like that. They do a regular promotion ceremony, I assume, on the first of the month, like every other Marine unit in the world does. And then this guy goes from corporal to sergeant. Now, a little bit behind the scenes, like, they could have stopped this. I have no idea why the command didn't stop that. They could have just went into MOL and non-wrecked him or do not promote this Marine.
Mm-hmm.
Letting him go from corporal to sergeant really fucks up all the people who were corporals, giving him the punishment that he so rightfully deserved.
So you go into the system and you see that somebody made a mistake. You don't just ignore that mistake and say, oh, well, he never got, you know, knocked down in the system, so we're just going to go ahead and keep going. Why
do you know, you tell I can't your S1 to fix the issue.
Right, exactly.
Like, you can go in and just adjust it. I don't understand what happened. But you can kind of tell that this unit was like probably had a commander who was real shitty. And he said that because this is the type of unit, every single Marine had to have their their combat gear, their flak jacket and all that shit set up the same exact way, which is asinine.
Oh, that's because that's one of those things. And I don't mean to interrupt you, Kate, but that's definitely one of those things that everyone kind of does it how is comfortable for them, and you make it unique to you. Obviously, we all have a uniform, but everyone does their gear just a little bit different because this is what works for you. What were you going to say, Kate?
I was going to say one thing. Old bleeding heart Kate checking in here. This all started.
Oh God, here we go.
This all started because he was supposed to be on duty. He told them he was sick, and he got caught at the mall with his wife. Mm-hmm. Things have been on the rocks recently. They've been having a tough time. A lot of fighting. He was sleeping on the couch. But finally, they reconnected a little bit. She said, please, come to the mall with me. There's a sale at the Jacksonville Mall Hot Topic. And there's a really cool pair of JNCO jeans that I've been looking at. And I would feel really great if you came with me. And he's like, my marriage is falling apart. Fuck. You know what? I'm going to go with her to the Jacksonville Mall. Because he'd been having a tough time, too. He went, and then everything fell apart. So I blame the narc who took a photo of him.
You're the fucking worst.
Yeah, seriously.
You're just
this guy's
worst. For Bagel Guy. You're such a bleeding heart that you even try to stick up for Bagel Guy.
For a second, and then I took it back.
Gosh.
We won't get into
and
it.
You don't like Friends? I don't know about you these days.
Honestly, if you wouldn't have taken the Bagel Guy Feel Sorry For back, I would have probably taken your Honor Courage commitment card today.
Well, luckily I saved myself in the nick of time, okay?
You know what I was thinking about when I was reading this story, though, too? I can't recall if I ever took a sick day in the military. where I just didn't go into work.
Ooh.
Just because of all the hoops you got to go through to actually take a sick day, go to sick call, get someone to say you're really, actually sick. Because
even on days that you're really sick, you still have to go to first sergeant and prove them that
right.
you're sick.
Right.
Like even if
right.
you go to medical and they're like, you got to go to SIQ and they give you SIQ, you still got to bring that in there and be like, all right, have a seat. I'll get the clerk out here in a minute. You're still there until fucking noon.
Yeah, isn't that ridiculous in the military? You can wake up, take your temperature yourself, see that it's 101. I don't need someone else to tell me I have a fever. Yeah. But I still have to go
have to
and have
it.
Someone tell me I have a fever to then show my chain of command that I'm actually
sick.
I wonder if
that's different now, though, because there's so many different ways of communication.
True.
I try to think now, if I was like a first sergeant or sergeant major, I would probably have a Marine stick a thermometer in their mouth and show it to me at an angle on FaceTime and be like, all right, Devil Dog, take your fucking temperature and I'll watch.
Yeah.
If it comes up,
wow.
If it comes in at 101, you could stay home. If not, good bitch, put your fucking tennis shoes on and meet me at my office.
I'd have a little bowl of warm milk right underneath the camera phone.
Yeah, you would. Could you imagine all the scheming that would go
on? Oh, I thought you were saying you're going to give warm milk to the sick Marine.
Ew, no. Oh my God, what?
You would.
Sorry, I gotta go into the pumping room. I'm feeding these Marines.
No, I don't mean
the house, Mom.
Weirdo. I mean just like warming up a glass.
Everybody signs up for sick call. They're like, this girl Kate comes in.
Kate's the best. I want to live
at
her house.
On this show, but I'll never intimate that Kate's gonna breastfeed a Marine.
Now we know why you want to be the house mom for all those 16 year olds.
I'm not a regular mom.
I'm a cool mom.
Whoa, sign that. Play the siren because it was super rare for me, but. Yeah. One was on a weekend at Fort Leonard Wood, mm-hmm. and they had this big indoor swimming pool. And of course, everyone else is going out in town, staying at the hotels, getting all fucked up. And I was like, oh, the on-base pool has a really big diving board. So I stayed on base and I like put on my little one-piece swimsuit and I was like down the pool. And I decided to try and do a cannonball off the high dive. This was like on a Sunday afternoon. And so I was like, woo! And I went in. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I went down so fast that the pressure changed in my head and I cracked my eardrum.
Ooh.
So I was real disoriented and they had to like help me to the side of the pool. And I was like, whoa. And they had to call my sergeant. Uh-huh. Who was like a super hardo to come pick me up. And he was like, well, what happened? And I was like, I cannonballed too hard and my ear hurts. And he was like, what? So he had to take me to the hospital and stay. So that was embarrassing. The second, I went to Applebee's. This was also on a Sunday. I went to Applebee's and I went ham on the all-you-can-eat menu.
As one does.
It was rib time.
Yeah.
Got food poisoning. And
from Applebee's, I'm shocked.
I was so sick in the barracks that night, they called our sergeant who had to come. He was married. He had to come on base in his brand new truck. I puked all over his brand new truck.
Oh, my God.
Yes. That was my second favorite.
What would you do, Chaps, if you picked up one of your young Marines and they puked in a brand new truck of yours?
Ha-ha. I don't know. Ooh, that would be
bad.
Well, I had the one Marine that I told you about whenever I had Clark Johnson on the show where we had to pick him up and he was really drunk at the hospital and I just put on Screamo as loud as I possibly could in my truck with like a system and everything to make him throw up and I just dared him the entire time. I was like, I fucking dare you throw up. It would have been a bad day. It would have been a bad, bad day for sure.
When I cracked my eardrum, my equilibrium got kind of fucked up for a hot minute and they made me the next morning. We had the PFT Monday morning at like 5 a.m. It was still dark out and he was like, you're still doing it. I was like, okay. So I'm like, ugh. I was like running in the dark, like weaving and mobbing.
Up Car Wash Hill?
Yeah.
Is that where you're
the
going?
Bar hang like killed me. I was like, oh, fuck my ear. So it was a good time. Anyway.
All right. Let's move on to round number five. Round number five, I think the Army is... They're continuing their trend of trying to modernize and make things more acceptable to, I would say, a millennial or younger audience, people who are 32 and younger, because a lot of people aren't carrying around books. They're listening to audiobooks and podcasts. That's what you guys do, right?
It is. It's
I know
true.
You like paper books, Cons.
I do like, I still do like paper books. It does make me feel like I'm better than people.
Me too. I have to say, I am also the same. I do like the paper books, but you're an audiobook guy, Chaps, right?
Well, it depends. Like, if it's a complicated book, like it's a biography, for example, mm-hmm. where I have to know where somebody is and I have to go back and read it several times to try to get a picture of where they are in the world, I can't just listen to it once and have it. I want to read, like, an actual book about what they're doing.
Right.
So, like Kyle Carpenter's new book, that's not one that I would want an audiobook. I want it where I can place marks in it, notes about what I'm thinking about in the time. So if I want to go back and look at it again, I could do that. That's how I feel. That's why I feel like this Army field manual isn't going to work out. Even though they're trying really hard, some of these are so technical that it's going to be difficult for the soldiers to really grasp what they're saying. In order to demonstrate that, everybody knows what force marching is, where you go out and you hump with the platoon or you hike with the platoon miles and miles and miles. The Army has field manuals about essentially everything that you could possibly ever do given day to day. And the Marines use the Army field manuals for a lot of shit too. There's one on morale for force marching. Think about listening to this while Khan reads it. Actually, listen to it, I guess.
Morale can greatly affect soldiers during foot marches. Low morale can be contagious and magnify any discomfort soldiers might experience. Commanders and subordinate leaders improve morale by applying leadership and emphasizing proper foot march techniques, some of which are: provide advance warning of an upcoming march so soldiers can prepare adequately. Hold formations early enough to allow time for inspecting soldiers and performing last-minute checks. During foot marches, avoid delays, keeping soldiers standing for extended periods. Delays can increase fatigue, causing legs
right,
to stiffen.
Right, exactly. Like, nobody is listening to that. And listen to how much bullshit this is. You want to increase morale by holding formations early?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's how the Army's drawing up, like, for you to increase your morale is holding formations early?
I would like a word with whomever wrote this field manual. No. So, on certain topics, yes, I agree with you, chaps, but on more technical topics that are probably a little harder to get through reading, I think listening in a podcast audio form would work. Because think about this. Think about if you listen to Barstool Radio, Power 85 every day. It gets to the point where you can finish the commercials because you've heard them so many times. So even though if you're talking about a technical subject, and even if it is a little boring, it is going to get into your brain and you are going to be able to learn whatever it is you're listening about.
I think what has to be done is it has to be read in a certain way that captures soldiers' attention. Can I try and show you what I mean?
Yeah,
like that?
Try, yes.
That was boring. But if you do it the right way. Welcome to the audiobook on morale. Hold on, let me adjust in my seat because my huge tits are so heavy. It's hard to get comfortable when I settle in to read something like this.
What in the fuck?
Oh, morale can greatly affect soldiers during foot marches. Low morale can be contagious and magnify any discomfort soldiers might experience.
Oh, I'm uncomfortable.
Especially if you have a giant old hog in your pants.
What?
Commanders?
Please stop.
Are we listening?
Please stop.
Is everybody at attention?
About to get again.
Everybody at attention? All right.
Oh, we're at attention.
So I feel like if you read it right, you would get people to pay attention to these new
audiobooks.
Especially
horny young soldiers? Yeah.
I was going to bet there that was going to be the sweep the chimney, Governor.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. So, yeah, that was a good job. Maybe it would work like that even better.
Yeah, if you did characters.
Yeah.
All right. Characters, so I don't really know if we have too much more. Speaking of horny, let's just move into round number six. We're not even going to talk. We're just going to fucking play it. Because in round number six, we found this video. I stumbled across this video based on military Reddit. Our military had it. And there is some Marines that had a legitimate funeral for some porno mags, not even really porno mags, more like Maxim magazines and shit like that, which is the primary spank bank material of what you had 10 years ago in Iraq and Afghanistan. Listen to these Marines and how professionally they do their funeral for their porno stash.
Well, just to add to it, they were burning it, I believe, because they had Mormons shifted into their platoon and the Mormons didn't want the porn in their platoon anymore, so they had to burn it because of them.
Interesting.
Is that what it was?
That's what I read in the YouTube bio of the video.
Interesting.
Oh, wow. Good for those Marines, man.
Yeah.
That's like the most woke shit I've ever heard a bunch of deployed Marines ever doing.
Yeah, or they were told they had to, but either way, I like that they respectfully... I don't think Marines would give up the jugs that easily, but I like they did it though.
Whenever I it's very much like a Forrest Gump thing. Raccoons on the back porch, mom just sweep them off with a broom. But whenever we had a Mormon go into our platoon in Okinawa, our sergeant convinced a lot of the other junior troops that because they were like, well, we don't know what Mormons believe, but he is very conservative. He's like, oh, they believe that like seagulls are like representation of God, and that the sergeant had everyone convinced that this new Marine in our platoon essentially worshipped seagulls, so we had to be very nice.
Is this the same guy that taught you that Okinawa was an island and that you could swim under it? Is that the same guy?
It was the same guy who believed that stuff, yeah.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah. That checks out.
Well, if you're a Mormon listening, let us know. Would you be pleased to see your guys burn in the pot? I'd like to think I'd be like, thank you. I appreciate you doing a good send-off for it and getting it out of my hair.
When I was watching this video, I watched it earlier today, and my eyes lit up, and I actually just sent you guys some pictures for context. But it's crazy that I was in Iraq over 10 years ago. So I was in Iraq at the same time. So these magazines...
You recognized them.
Yes. They were holding up these pictures. So I was like, wait a second. I've seen that picture. I had all these pictures all over my office.
Less chalky than yours.
Yeah. But it was just really nostalgic.
How do you think Khan's got him to stick to the wall?
Yeah. No tape needed.
It was just very nostalgic that all these pictures were in this video. And I was like, wait, I recognize these women. It was great.
Oh, my God.
Here's the sound from the video.
Detail, halt! Forward, face! We gather here today to honor the eternal memory of the women that have sacrificed selflessly for the good of those that have suffered sexual repression through geographic isolation, namely us. These ladies of the periodical, queens of the centerfold, have inspired our imaginations and other parts that shall not be mentioned at this time. Though these many months have been long and hard, they have provided us with a means for us to have a temporary release. Your undying patriotism and service to those who serve has not been in vain. And though our time together may have come to an end, you will forever live on in our hearts. We salute you, O Princess of the Page. You will never be forgotten. Now we will list off a few of the names of those that have inspired us. Carmen Electra. Dasha Astep Viva. Ashley Horkelrode.
I don't think we're going to say anything else. That's it. Let's move on to round number 7. All right, round number 7. So I want to give a little background on these stories because we find a lot of the stuff that we talk about on ZBT through our friends at like Task and Purpose, through Military.com, through Army Times, Navy Times, Marine Times, Air Force Times, blah, 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 blah. But all four of us are subscribed to these defense videos that come out every single day, and I get like a list of articles that come out straight from the Department of Defense. And a lot of times these videos are so fucking boring. It's just a bunch of troops like standing in formation, or you'll have a bugle caller who didn't miss a note that day and things like that. And you'll have, let me explain to you what it sounds like. It says USS Coast Guard Cutter Monroe, or I think that's how you say it, Monroe, crew members board a self-propelled semi-submersible suspected drug smuggling vessel, an SPSS, June 18th, 2019, while operating in international waters in the Eastern Pacific Ocean. Build purpose smuggling vessels like the SPS are designed to hold large quantity of contraband while evading detection by law enforcement authorities. This is from U.S. Coast Guard videos. Sounds super boring, right?
There's a Coast Guard cutter, a badass coastie jumps off of it onto a submarine where there's a drug guy.
Right, but what I'm saying is we missed this even though it came out 3 weeks ago and nobody saw it, even though it was given out to all different types of military media because of the way that they said it.
The description was so ho-hum. It was so ho-hum, right, as if, oh, like, this was no big deal. But then you watch the video and you see this dude jump onto this moving vessel, and it's just so impressive.
Yeah, it's one of the more impressive feats that I've seen. One, because just moving from one floating vehicle to another mm-hmm. on the move is difficult.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if you've ever tried to go from one jet ski to the other. Just getting on a jet ski in the water, like once it's already in the water, is tough. It gives you a little ab workout. If your core's not right, you're not going to be good. Going from a speeding boat onto just the top of a semi-submerged submarine without slipping, with a weapon in your hand, and knowing that you're going to open up a hatch and see a bunch of people who are smuggling cocaine, they might have weapons pointed at you right in your face, and not making a mistake at all is unbelievably athletic.
That's, yeah. You're 100% accurate, and I agree, and something I want to point out that you said, think about that. He opens that hatch. There could have been someone with a weapon pointed right at that hatch. Boom, the guy's dead right there. So to have that amount of courage to just jump in and open that hatch, just doing your job, is so admirable. Whoever this coast he was.
He doesn't stumble at all. He's in like no. He's in gear. He's yeah. full gear. He's going full out open ocean. It's not like he's sitting on the shore. Like he's going. This is one of the more impressive that I've seen in a long time. And we're talking about that on. No, I'm not going to say that. But it is an unbelievably impressive video.
Oh, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really cool. And I feel like we rip on the coasties sometimes. This guy, all the props, he just yeah. brought the cool points up 10 million percent. Actually, I haven't seen a
coastie this impressive since Ashton Kutcher in The Guardian.
Oh, yeah. Whoa, it's been a while since we talked about The Guardian.
And mostly I wanted to say credit to us for talking about a video that you can clearly see while you drive down the road.
The two things that I really liked about this video, behind the scenes, the driver, the pilot of that boat doesn't get enough credit because they're going full speed. He's got to pull up right next to it. He can't like drive over it. He can't be too far, can't be too close. And the view of the full ocean that you get, they are out there.
Oh, yeah.
They are in the middle of the ocean. It's so expansive, like it never ends. Mm-hmm. That's terrifying.
Also,
that is so terrifying.
Yes,
you're
scary.
Giving the shout out to the driver of the Coast Guard cutter. Anti-shout out to the driver of the submarine who was like,
yeah,
I think
go underwater, dude. Like, what are you doing at the surface of the
you
water?
You know what? I'm just
well,
going to lose.
They're not. They're semi-submersible. They can't go underwater. Mm-hmm. They can make all these. There's a documentary that I recommend it highly on YouTube. You can probably pull it up. Like, Google drug smuggling submarines, and they just had the little top go in because they can't design ones like with the money that it would cost to have a full-out submarine. So they just have ones that barely go above the surface of the water, and they're painted the same color of the water to avoid detection from like drones and shit like that. It makes it very difficult for them to see. Mm-hmm. They can't actually dive in. That's why the guy knew. Because if you were jumping on an actual submarine and they could dive down, you can get caught in that suction and it would take you down with it.
Yep. Yeah.
You know what I would do if I was a drug smuggler? I would put a big old whale tail on the back and I'd put a fake blowhole that actually blew out water and I would put a big smiling whale face on the front. And if you're looking at the drug drone, you're like, oh my God, everybody, look at this
beautiful
whale.
Blue whale.
Yeah.
Have you seen those suggested videos on Instagram where there is like a jet ski that you can get inside and basically act like you're a dolphin and go in and out?
Yeah, that's just so
cool. Oh my God.
Imagine though,
you're this. If I'd have done that, I would have nutted more than whenever Khan saw Jennifer Love Hewitt in Iraq.
Imagine though, if you're this
Not
guy,
possible.
This crew of drug smugglers though, because spoiler, a lot of drugs do still come into this country. So imagine if you're the one crew that gets taken down. I mean, credit to the Coast Guard. They take down a lot of drug smugglers.
Oh, yeah.
But can you imagine going into the break room? Yeah, you hear about Bob got picked up. What a loser.
Yeah, because you're screwed with us and with the people you were working for, too.
Yes.
You're just kind of...
Exactly.
Don't smuggle drugs. Maybe I sound like a nerd saying that. Sorry, not sorry. Also, I still do drugs, so maybe I should. No, I'm just kidding.
She's got a waiver. All right, any save rounds, alibis?
Kate?
Oh, can I just say I moved today? I know we kind of, when I first came in here, I was soaked in rain, drenched in sweat, a hot moving day in New York City. 15th move in 15 years, and all my shit's just in trash bags everywhere. It's been a treat living with PFC Bren and company. I took some of the good shit from the apartment. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Glad to have you the hell out of there. Anyway.
Yeah. No more shower curtain door flipping shut in the middle of the night from the bars.
Yeah.
No more sneakily eating all your good junk food.
I almost did a serious face plant this morning with no lights on in the hallways because of the stacks of garbage bags. I tripped right over them first thing this morning. So.
That's the other thing. I forgot the boxes I ordered didn't come in time. So when the moving guys got there, it was just a massive mountain of trash bags. I just put everything I own in trash bags, like even stuff that is fragile. I was like, hey, be careful of that trash bag. There's some there's some ceramic shit in there. And they're like, what? So it was a real treat. So there's that.
All right.
I also, no, I'm not done. All I just had to get this off my chest. The room I moved into in the new apartment, the guy still lives there, but he moved to the room next door of the person who left, which is a nicer room. That's fine. Whatever. Seniority rules. Didn't clean it.
Oh, no.
I'm a little grumpy about it.
Peeved. I would be. Yeah. You don't want to move into a dusty, dirty room.
I'll say the floor is stickier than the first time Khan saw Jennifer Love Hewitt when he was in Iraq. It is that sticky.
There we go.
Anyways, that was a long roundabout way to get to that joke.
I blew out that Can't Hardly Wait DVD.
Oh, you blew something, buddy. A load.
Yeah, I got two. One's a crazy story from Fort Hood, but first I want to just say, if you have not read Chaps' blog about, I'm sorry, what was it, Chapman's first name?
John.
John Chapman, the Medal of Honor recipient whose actions were recorded, you need to go check out that video.
That video is incredible.
It's the first ever Medal of Honor recipient who had their action recorded essentially from a drone.
Yep.
It is unbelievable. And the guy that I posted in the video on the YouTube, because I've seen the video whenever the citation came out, but it's very hard to track unless you actually like know how to view shit from a drone. Like, it's difficult to pick up what's going on. Mm-hmm. A guy essentially goes in, you know, on ESPN Plus now when they'll have Kobe Bryant or Peyton Manning break down film. Mm-hmm. He essentially breaks down the film with X's and O's and circles everybody of what's actually going on. So it gives you a full battlefield perspective about what's going on and what Chapman actually did. If you haven't seen that blog, I'll pin it to the top of my Twitter profile at Uncle Chaps. Make sure you go see it.
It's incredible.
It is heroism in action. Yeah. It is the best that we have in this country. He gave his life for Navy SEALs, for people around him, and it is truly, truly a remarkable scene.
Yeah, I sat there after I watched it. It's like 9 minutes long.
It's worth it.
It felt like it was 10 seconds long, and my jaw was like open afterwards.
Yeah, the guy did a great job narrating. It was just...
Yeah, really incredible.
So anyway, there was this buddy of mine. He's a commander down at Fort Hood, just took battalion command, and he told me about this crazy story. A couple of his – two of his soldiers in his battalion, something went wrong in their barracks to where their AC went out, and you're at Fort Hood, Texas, in the summer. Your AC went out.
Oh, I guess we have AC in the barracks now, pussies.
Anyway, so they devised a crazy plan. They have some female friends that live in a different barracks, brand new barracks. So they devised this game they played with the female barracks where it was like a bet to see if they could switch barracks rooms. Highly illegal, so it caused a whole big ruckus for my buddy who's in command. And what's even crazier...
A bet?
Yeah. No, they did like some sort of trivial pursuit game where they like challenge each other. But then apparently like people came and watched.
You're essentially giving away the plot of an episode of Friends.
Oh, fuck. See,
yes.
I didn't want to tell anyone.
I wanted to see if she was going to enjoy that. And then I was going to say, oh, bullshit, you enjoyed that.
Did you see me? I was confused. I was like, that's so fucking stupid. That's the face I just had. That's so stupid.
Nope. Go on. She's in terrible episode 12.
Friends was a terrible show.
The one with
my
embryos.
My face just proved it. I didn't get that at all. That's very silly.
You could just be honest. You were enjoying that story. You wanted me to continue.
This was my, you can't see my face right now, everyone, but I look like I just smelled a fart.
Yeah.
That's how I felt hearing that.
I figured you were going to pick up on it when I was going to say that the other commander, the competing commander, crazy, she was a surrogate for her brother's children. So I thought that was going to be one step too far to where you might think it was a little weird.
Oh my God. What a mess.
I'm determined to get you to watch
Friends. You guys and your TV shows. What can I say? Yeah.
Chaps, what's up?
Last note. Obviously, next Thursday, we will be down at Max Speed Shop in Fayetteville, North Carolina for Rough and Rowdy. If you haven't gotten it yet, we interviewed a dude in Raleigh, North Carolina, who is a poolie who's trying to join the Marine Corps. Not sure if he'll make it or not. He's a pretty chubby fella. Not sure if he'll get in or not, unless he works really, really hard over the next couple months. He is fighting a dude named Brickhouse, who was an Army airborne guy, and this dude might legitimately kill this kid because the guy who wants to join the Marine Corps just turned 18, just graduated high school, and the other dude, nice Brickhouse, guy. Is a legitimate full-grown man, and he looks like he will absolutely kill this dude in the ring. If there's so many fights, go to our Twitter page at ZeroBlock30 or the Instagram page and check out all these different fights. If you don't like it, I will ask Dave if he'll give your money back. He might not because he's a little mad at me still. But we'll ask him anyways. Go to buyrnr.com. You can subscribe and get Barstool Hardcore. And then you'll have all the different Rough and Rowdies throughout the year for free. If not, just come out and visit us if you're in the Fayetteville area. We know a lot of listeners from that base. Come and check us out. We're going to have us three, us four. Large is going to be there. Big Cat's going to be there. They're going to be stopping by. Everybody's going to have beer, pork sandwiches, and shit.
I'm pumped.
Me and Kate ate there with Dakota Meyer a few weeks ago, and it was delicious. They have great food, great setting. Come out to Max Beach Shop in Fayetteville. Other than that, sound the retreat.